Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 29, episode 3 of Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 2nd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the Jacker Barrel. That is courtesy of Derek Smith. Also, courtesy of the Zeit Gang, May Day, when a plane slash ship is going down, comes from my days. That is my French accent. The casual French for help me. And that's how it sounds to English speakers.
Oh,
and
my
love
days.
In tennis comes from loaf, egg, which is like the shape of a zero. Again.
As we call it, the goose egg out here.
Yeah, my perfect French accent. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Uh-huh. You know Miles Gray is black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Thank you to Carolina DeGroot on Twitter for pointing that out as we had a discussion over it. Yeah, yellow, not a good description of Asian people. But, you know, I was saying I was black and yellow for a while.
I didn't even get it.
Yeah,
until just now.
The original Jigga, you know what I mean? I've been out here with all the AKs. But thank you for pointing that one out. And also, Wiz Khalifa, I see you doing Muay Thai, and it's very scary.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
He's so long.
Yeah, he's very long.
But it's funny watching
praying
him.
Praying mantis and
yeah,
shit.
Now yeah. that he turned his like baby chest into a man's chest, he's starting to look like a human figure.
I wouldn't fuck with that dude.
Rather than like one of those cigarette-smoking aliens from Men in Black.
He does look like that. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian, Mr. Billy Wayne Davis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, man.
So Wiz is getting...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's been clips of him in the Muay Thai gym, like doing. I mean, his hand speed is garbage, but his legs are so long. When he was doing like these flying knees, I was like, oh, God, if you caught one of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
It would change your smile.
Leverage.
Yeah, a lot of leverage from those limbs.
Yeah, he's loose too, because he's all high.
Billy Wayne, what is something that you've searched in the not too distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
VPNs.
VPNs.
Oh, yeah.
Virtual
proxy
networks. There you go.
You downloading some shit off BitTorrent?
No, just more protecting.
Yeah, your activities on the internet.
Oh, and just your family's stuff and all that. That's like, I think that's the right move, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a must-use piece of software.
I think the older I get, everything I research, even if I think I'm sure where I'm saying, yeah, I'm sure about that. That means 85%.
Right.
Yes. We call it a virtual private network. But yeah, I know
we don't use
them much here in the States. A lot of people are using them more in Europe and stuff.
Yeah, the only time I used one was when I went to the Middle East, and that's because some of the countries didn't allow certain stuff.
Right, and that's usually why, like, the first time I got it was, I think I was going somewhere, and I was like, what do you mean I can't watch Netflix in Sri Lanka?
Right.
Then I'm like, get a VPN. So, yeah.
That did make me laugh, where it was, like, that easy to just jump over that.
Yeah, exactly. Wall. Or like, you know, I like to watch a lot of stuff in the UK, so like BBC iPlayer, like those are sort of geo restricted. So by having that, you have access, you know, depending on how you use it.
See, I didn't even get to that angle of it.
And you VPN into a specific location. So like if you want to watch Netflix, you VPN into the United States. And
I'm not a hacker
Netflix.
And I know everybody, the Zeit Gang has plenty of savvy people. But what I imagine is, you can sort of say like you can have it operate as if you are in a certain location and have access to certain things.
Dope.
Cool.
Cool.
But yeah, so cool. You've been searching that.
Yeah, I was trying to find the best one.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated Twitter.
All right. Just as a as a place to write, as a place to get your news, all of the above.
At this point, all of it. I think as a technology, I think it's outdated itself. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, we've gotten past peak Twitter. We're in the final days. Well, I don't know what the final days, but like it's clearly gone past the best version of it was.
Yes. Yeah. I think we've ringed out its value.
Yeah, and it's funny because even there are people who will like tweet at us like, hey, I joined Twitter just to holler at the Daily Zeitgeist or whatever. And I'm always like,
Don't look around. Do not look around. Get out of the building.
Cool. And if to any of the Zeit Gang listening right now, you don't need to be on Twitter. You know what I mean? You can holler at us through other versions of communication like Facebook. I don't know. How do we even talk to people anymore?
Like email. Email's great.
Email. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Instagram.
VPN.
Instagram. I like Instagram. Like I just got verified on Instagram.
Oh, look at you.
I'm bragging because it was
you're literally flexing your muscles right now.
Exactly. My manager and agent were like, they're like, we're going to verify you. And I was like, I'm good. It's fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you can, on Instagram, it actually, you can sell tickets and do stuff like that on
right,
it. And
right,
I was
right.
like, oh, well, then there's a value to it. Then,
right. Like, aside from the look of having
the status
checkmark.
Of it, yeah. I never cared about because, come on.
Unless you're Lil Tay, who's been bragging about being verified for the last 2 weeks on Instagram.
Is that?
That was a past story about this, like, 9-year-old child who's been like posing with like thousands of dollars, and no one knows who this girl is or where she comes from. But she was in a fight with the Cash Me Outside girl, mm-hmm. And she rose
cool.
to prominence, yeah, through that.
Yeah.
So she's 9.
Very, very.
That's
cool.
What she says. She said, "I'm the richest 9-year-old out here. I'm verified, flexing on all you broke ass haters all the time." It's very classist. It rubs me the wrong way. So you know, I try not to do it. You know, get too involved with that.
She's rough growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, those 9 years, man, I'll tell you. Also, how'd she have that money?
Rough almost decade she's been living.
I can tell I'm old because I'm just like, where are her parents? And also, man, she would get her ass kicked. Both of those things are probably not the first thought you should
have. Yeah, I don't know. A 9-year-old kid at school coming through with like racks of dollars
right.
talking about flexing all you broke haters. I'm snatching that pile of money and I'm buying Pokemon cars or Tamagotchis or Beanie Babies,
a lot
or whatever
of,
the kids
like,
buying
skins and stuff on Minecraft.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for updating that.
A lot of children's money goes to now
yes.
at this point. It's a good scam they've got. I've had to explain to my son, like, let's talk about the tangibility of where you're spending your money.
How old is your son?
He's 8.
8. Wow.
Oh yeah.
So you're up on all the crazy newfangled bullshit.
Oh, I know it all. I nice. Know when it comes out.
Or Roblox or whatever that
yeah,
other one
Kristen
is.
Yeah, Kristen Schaal is in every cartoon that's been made in the last 10 years.
Oh, her voice? Really?
Oh, really?
It's impressive.
Holy
shit. I ain't
shit.
Mad at her. I
yeah.
love her.
No, and her voice is, you know it when you hear it. Too.
Yes. Yeah, there's
for
several
sure.
of my friends where I'm like, oh, you making a ton of money and
yeah,
not telling anybody.
God, man, that voice game is not a game.
It's not a game.
It's an industry, it's in fact.
Yeah. Tom Kenny. You know who he is?
Yeah. He's the voice of SpongeBob and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know him from Mr. Show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great interview because he not only is the voice of everything, but he loves being the voice of everything.
Yes.
And he will just like break into whatever voice he
right,
wants. Like
right.
it's just, he. It's,
that's a special skill. Like I went and did some Squidbilly stuff a couple weeks ago. And I'm bragging about that. That
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
that
yes.
is one of my character came back this season. I was like, there
you go.
Do you want to come? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always forget the money part. My manager's like, get paid. They'll pay you. I'm like, ah, yeah, but it's so great. But just being in I was in one of those voiceover studios, and some of those dudes come in and out like him.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it's what they can do and the way they can do it. It's like, oh, I was just raised in a certain region.
Yeah, that
that's
right,
why
right.
I'm doing this. Yeah,
right,
but
right.
you have a thing. That
you
is
have
crazy.
Chameleon mouth.
Yeah, it is crazy to watch them just, there's like different spirits in their body. It's crazy.
Yeah, and just generally having a talent, like being the best at something and also really loving the thing you're best
yeah,
at
yeah.
is like such a, I don't know.
It's fun. It's,
yeah,
it makes people like really vibe with you even more, especially because if I feel like there's always videos on Reddit of like being like, hey, read this thing as this character. And people are like,
right.
yeah.
And he always obliges. And it's fun because you can tell he likes to do it. And it's just, I don't know. It's
like
always.
Mark Hamill seems like that.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
He seems
yeah.
like someone that likes being Mark Hamill.
Oh,
right.
hell
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
where
yeah.
it's like, that's thank you for liking that.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, yeah, I did a voice that I was mad at and now I'm a millionaire.
Well, right.
I
and I think
it.
It's also someone who kind of looks at their own skill and says, wow, it's afforded me a life of like luxury or, you know, access or whatever. And so, you know, why have a tortured relationship with it? I think those are the people who really like, wow, I'm lucky enough that I got to do this thing that I love. So why be shitty about it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like those people really, I like that attitude.
Yeah. A lot of times,
like, yeah,
you
should
find...
want to be Luke Skywalker because millions of people want to be Luke Skywalker.
Right, exactly. Yeah. 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 I feel like a lot of those people, a lot of the time, they will either, the success will come late or they will have like a dry period.
Right.
That'll make them sort of
be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take things into account.
They were trying to get good at it instead of trying to get famous at it.
Right,
that's
yeah,
that
exactly.
dry period.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's usually when it's like, oh, for a while they didn't make any money because they didn't believe in themselves because they knew the art form so well that they were like, I shouldn't charge people yet.
Right, right, right.
And then something happens and they're like, I'm going to charge people a lot of money.
Right, right.
Have you ever seen a bird where you're like, man, that bird loves flying?
I like to catch them like in a draft.
Yeah, just like soaring. And they're just like doing it because they can. It's like,
check this shit out.
You'd think you'd be tired of it, but man, that must be fucking awesome. Like, and
I have the opposite response. I'm like, fuck out of here, birds. And I fucking act
think
like,
you're better than me? Yeah, you do always yell at the birds in our neighborhood.
Yeah, that's true. Because they're trying to make me jealous because that's their privilege.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Check your privilege,
at the same time, it is inspiring.
Yeah. Billy, what's something that is underrated?
Diplo.
Weird. Okay.
I've just got into who Diplo is, what he is.
Not a dinosaur.
He's not. I mean, he could be.
Could be a Diplodocus.
But like, his lifestyle is fascinating and inspiring.
So explain who Diplo is. I'm familiar with his.
He's like, you know, he's
like
a
DJ.
DJ, producer, like a lot of his songwriter. Remixes. I mean, like, you know, he started the record label Mad Decent. And, you know, he does like some nonprofit stuff.
He owns a publishing company where I think that's how rappers get most of their money.
Oh, yeah. You gotta own your publishing.
Yeah, because that's where all the money comes from, is writing the music.
Right.
So that alone is genius. And then you look at who he's also responsible for that song Paper Planes by MIA.
Yeah.
That alone.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He and MIA kind of are responsible for each other. When they found each other, they kind of blew up once they found each other. But I think that song alone, Paper Planes, makes the movie Pineapple Express a classic movie instead of just a really funny movie.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny how music can do that sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think who does that better than anybody is Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
Really? The way he spends a ton of money.
Yeah, getting those songs.
If you hear some
of
the songs he uses. Oh, like he got Kanye before Kanye was.
Yeah, that's true, because you see those music and you're like, I usually don't hear this artist in a film, which means they've probably cut the fucking check.
So much money. Yeah,
that's a heavy-ass bag.
But that's why his movies stand out, I think, Todd Phillips.
That's true, yeah. I mean, can do a lot. And like, yeah, I remember when MIA was still first coming out, I found out through him through this mixtape called Piracy Funds Terrorism. Mixtape series.
That was him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when I was like, who the fuck is Diplo? And then the other producer, Switch, who was also working with MIA, that whole world was crazy. And then, he's people don't realize how long he's been
Mohawk,
in the game.
Right?
And just, he doesn't drink or do drugs. I think he smokes a little weed, which I don't consider drugs, but it's like this, he just prints checks.
Yeah, right?
Prints fucking checks. And then some people were like, he's not a DJ. And we're like, yeah, he is. But also, they're like, it's just he gets paid a lot because he's famous. Right?
And
that's how that works, I think, right?
Yeah, and you notice, too, that the way he speaks might indicate he's from the South, huh?
Oh,
he's from Tupelo, Mississippi.
A friend of mine who's a musician was like, you need to check this dude out. That's how I got into who Diplo is in the last couple. And then I got on his Instagram stories and heard his voice. I was like, where is this motherfucker from?
Right.
Because he sounds like a couple of buddies of mine.
Yeah.
And just kind of talks slow and a little. He's a smart ass. So I was like, I know this dude.
Yeah. There he is.
And that's when I got really into it. I was like, oh, I'm going to, because he's so worldwide and he's from Tupelo, Mississippi.
Right.
It's just fascinating to me. People making fun of the South all the time. Like, you need to check who's from there. You don't need to talk to a lot of the people that still live there.
Do you think he's a perversion of Tupelo, Mississippi?
Oh, without a doubt, because he went to Florida too.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking about this early aughts mixtape that I loved by this dude Lo B, and I could never find him. And people were like, oh, you're talking about Lo Budget, who was part of Holertronics with Diplo. So I was just thinking, like, man, I need to, like, read more on Diplo, because apparently he's just, like, always where all my favorite music is. So
yeah.
I need to check that dude out. And finally, Billy Wayne, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
That jury duty is a panel of your peers. I was just on jury duty.
What did that panel look like?
Well, first of all, it was 50-something people. I guess I can talk about it now. I got dismissed. I was there for 5 days.
Oh, Jesus.
I kept having to come back because I was like deep in the numbers.
Oh, shit. Oh, because you had to go in on Monday, and then they're like, sorry, I'm going to have to come back Tuesday. Sorry, I'm going to have to come back Wednesday.
Wednesday, Thursday, we were off. The Friday and Monday, so then I had to come back again on a Tuesday.
Right.
You get $15 a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
So I got a $66 check because they did some kind of weird math where whatever the
commute is to, yeah. Right.
But it's like straight. They don't do like
any, roads. Yeah, yeah.
It's like straight. It was a medical marijuana case. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, just let me talk right now. You're going to let me go.
Right, right. Exactly.
But sitting there, it was fascinating either how misinformed people were about marijuana. Mm-hmm. One lady said it was against her religion. It was really hard not
what
to
What was her religion?
Oh, you can't ask. That's the most frustrating thing. When they talk, you can't be in like the panel and just raise your hand. And you're like, yo, can we get some backstory on what the fuck she's talking about?
Yeah. Are you Jeff Sessions your Christ figure?
I mean, it was like, and then some people you can see are figuring out how to get out of it.
Right, right, right.
And then I was just very honest as soon as I found out it was medical marijuana. I was like, oh, I'm going to get out of this just by telling the truth.
Right.
But also, $15 a day. A friend of mine brought this up. He's like, you can't tell me that doesn't affect justice.
Right.
Where mm-hmm. it's like, a lot of people don't want to be there.
Right.
It messed up 5 of my days.
Right, right, right.
5. I mean, granted, I don't have a regular job where I have to be somewhere.
Right.
But everyone else pretty much did.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're just like, you can see people in their head like, I'm losing this much money being here.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
So I want to make
And a lot of people are fucking angry in there too.
Yes.
I've never been in like a holding room with potential jurors with relaxed people.
No, no. People are mad. And then the people that want to be there, you're just like, what is wrong with you?
Right,
right, right. They're like, I want to put someone in jail.
Yes, yes. That whole thing, like, that's a very real thing.
Yeah, there are people,
sitting,
right?
Where you're like, I don't.
But that is a bias, right? That bias is who the panel is going to be. It's going to be retired people. It's going to be people who like have some weird like axe to grind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been to jury duty like 3 times, and the only time I did it was like when I was in college and like hated my summer job, and so like didn't actively try and get out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was on like a wrongful death case with a bunch of other people. Yeah, it's like all
you have the life
people.
Experience to be thinking about a wrongful death too, as a dude trying to get out of a college job.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Gotta have a good opinion on things.
Right, but yeah, it's a very specific type of person.
Yeah, I was tip to LA people: try and go to the Burbank courthouse.
Because, I was in East LA.
Oh yeah, if you go downtown, there. I mean, they have a lot of cases going through there. But when I was in Burbank, they were like, "Yeah, we only have one courtroom open right now, so." I think we're not even hearing anything today.
Yeah.
I've gone twice and been like asked to go.
Yeah, I did Santa Monica, and they were like, "Does anybody like? Is it not convenient for you to be here because of work?"
Right.
And like half of the people just like moved to the section they said to move to, and they're like, "All right, later." I'm like, "Let us go after 2 days." It's fucking wonderful.
They're like, "Hey, any of y'all like not trying to be here at all?"
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Cool. This judge was like, he took his time asking people.
Right. Right.
To get. And then when it was my turn, I was like, I'm prepped for this.
Right.
There were four defendants. 3 of them had public defenders. 1 of them couldn't speak English.
Mm-hmm. Is it for possessing medical marijuana?
No,
it was like running a dispensary
or
something?
I think Probably. It was some kind of weird zoning.
Right, right.
And when it was my turn, you know, you have to say if you've been arrested before, and I've definitely been arrested before. And one of them was possession of marijuana. And then I could tell when you have to say your job, and I was like, I'm a comedian.
Right.
I could feel all the eyes. Like,
right.
Like people weren't paying attention.
Right. And they're like, oh, he's going to say something funny.
Okay, this guy is fearless. And like at one point, the judge is like, you know, you can say anything you want. We're not going to judge you here. And I, without even thinking, I was like, I don't care if you judge me or not. And that got a huge laugh.
Right.
And then I just said, listen, I'm a patient for medical marijuana. And then the judge made this big thing the first day about how you don't want somebody in there to get into the jury and pollute it and to get, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm going to tell you, if I got on this jury, that's what I would do, because since Citizens United passed,
right,
the laws aren't being made to represent the people.
There you go. Well,
so and
lawyers
this is,
are like, get him the fuck
oh,
out.
This, oh, but the defense attorney's eyes lit up, and they were smiling, and they were like, keep talking.
Yeah.
Because I was polluting. I knew what I was doing, and I said, and it's obvious there's 3 public defenders here. No one made any money off this. This is a weird political case.
Right.
And the judge goes, okay, I understand what you're saying. Thank you very much. Like, he cut me off real quick when I was getting on my soapbox. I was like, so I don't understand. And he was like, well, you understand, like, could you separate who makes this law? Because this is like a zoning. And I was like, no, I understand that. And my problem comes with who is regulating these laws and zoning.
Right.
Is it a marijuana conglomerate or a representative of someone with a ton of money?
Right, right.
So they're just boxing out the little people?
Right.
And he goes, okay, so we'll just get to the thing. Could you blah, blah, blah? I was like, absolutely not. And
so
like,
we'll get to the part where we kick you the fuck out of here.
Yeah, or just talk about jury nullification.
Yeah.
And then they'll get you the fuck out of
there. It was clear they were going to.
You don't want people knowing about that.
And when I said, this is a clear political case right there, it was like, I'm out of here.
They're like, but what if I wanted to nullify this law as a jury member? They're like, don't let people know about that power.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the stories of the day. We want to start out with the fact that Jeff Bezos is entering the space race. This is the world we live in now where, instead of being nations in space races against one another, it's just like two very, very wealthy men in space races.
Yeah.
Because they, are having somewhat of a dick measuring contest. But Jeff
Whose
Bezos...
Whose dick can go further into space, basically. Who's
back inside
Whose
them.
Science right. dick can go further.
Jesus.
Mine's smaller.
Yeah. But moves
But
faster.
More efficient. Yeah. So Bezos actually had some interesting things to say. He was talking about how the solar system can easily support 1 trillion humans. And if we had 1 trillion humans, we would have 1,000 Einsteins and 1,000 Mozarts and unlimited resources, which I think is an interesting and underrated part of progress and the history of progress. People keep talking about how much progress is speeding up and how like science and technology is moving really fast. And I think a big part of that is, and people have speculated that a big part of that is that we have like a huge population of people, and we're also, creating a form of government that more than any in history actually lets, a large portion of the population contribute and have a voice. And, in the past, like there's a reason
to an extent
in theory.
Yeah. More so than in history is all I'm saying.
In the loosest sense.
In a broad,
Billy.
Loose sense, we are moving in the right-ish direction.
Yeah.
The idea that the solar system can support 1 trillion humans, is he saying that we're going to have to inhabit other planets? Because
I think that's what
as he goes
at.
On, he was saying that I believe that in that time frame, we will move all heavy industry off Earth and Earth will be zoned residential and light industry. Which is crazy to be like, okay, move all that shit off, and then Earth is just a big apartment complex.
Yeah, I think the way he's envisioning it is that it's going to be like factories and shit like that, like all the stuff that's like belching gross smoke and shit that we now just relegate to New Jersey will actually be on other planets, and there will be those like giant oil refineries.
And they will just rename that planet New Jersey.
This it just sounds to me like a rich dude, very aware of his legacy at all times, sounding, because all of this is not new. It just sounds like basic science fiction.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, but it's like a grandiose rich dude who's like, now I am now the richest man in the world.
In the history of the world.
In the history of the world.
Yes.
And what I foresee is what everyone else foresees.
Yeah, that we cannot live on this planet forever.
And we need to go further. But I'm the one who said it first and the loudest and can control the message because I have all the billions.
The most money.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. Like, I don't think he's like really sitting at home being like, let me really theorize about space. You know, he talked to some people and was like, yeah, okay, that makes, I could put my money into that.
Yeah.
All right, fuck you. What, you need a billion? Okay,
exactly.
Great.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to liquidate 1 billion of my Amazon winnings every year for the next
cool
foreseeable.
Way to see your wealth.
Is that what he calls it, winnings?
His winnings.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Converting my Amazon winnings into space travel.
There's an interesting article in Bloomberg called The Massive Prize Luring Miners to the Stars, where it talks about the amount of like resources in all the different asteroids that are just like within visible like distance from Earth, and the amount of resources, like there's like $100 quadrillion worth of just raw resources that you can mine these asteroids
for. Oh, my God.
You just got to bridle them, right. Ride them,
right.
And break them.
There you go.
So it's like Armageddon. You just get that same crew of, like, you know, deep sea drillers out there and start mining the fucking asteroids.
Just go to strip clubs throughout Houston and Beaumont, Texas.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we wanted to do a quick check-in with Kanye because there was some news in the world of Kanye since last we spoke. He stopped by TMZ to do one of his patented Kanye/Trump rants.
Straight
where he
rant.
Just goes Kanye jazz on the inhabitants of the TMZ office, and one of the places that he ventured was... talking about slavery and saying that slavery was a choice.
Yeah, that I think officially signaled to most of the world that Kanye has left Earth and is now joining the rest of the sort of out of touch people and the unread, unlearned people who are conflating free thought with critical thought. Because, yes, he got flamed. Clearly, for saying something as inflammatory and absurd that slavery is a choice. That's why, by definition, it is called slavery. Anyway, look, don't get me spinning my wheels on this.
Man,
shit.
Words don't have definition. Yeah.
But then he had to back it up because then there's this whole Twitter hashtag of slavery was a choice, which, shout out to Twitter. One of the few times you like Twitter is because in mass people have put their senses of humor on display to talk about such an absurd notion like slavery being a choice.
Yeah.
But then that obviously because Kanye's ego will not allow him to say that he was ever wrong. He was like, you see, that was an idea I had.
Right.
And I don't really believe this is an idea. And see, that's my free thought.
Once again, I am being attacked for ideas that I'm putting out there. What did he say?
It's some bullshit. It doesn't even matter. Like, essentially, you know, you can't use the free thought defense to back up when a hot take blows up in your face.
So he's confusing freedom of thought with not knowing how history works, which, yes, not being aware how things have actually happened frees your mind because then you think anything can happen, or you think, yeah, maybe slavery was a choice. Who knows? Because you haven't read about history. You don't actually
Or you don't know what the word slavery means.
Right, exactly.
that but precisely.
By definition,
it's always
not a choice.
It's always the people who know the least history, and sometimes very smart people who just don't know anything that actually happened or don't know, like, what words mean that confuse freedom of thought with just being able to think whatever the fuck you want, whether it has any coherence to the truth.
So well, anyway,
it's consequences. It's freedom of consequences.
Right.
Exactly. I want to say and do whatever I want without anyone else reacting to me.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not how anything works.
Right.
And also, he's a really, really talented music producer. There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's treat him like that.
Yeah, well, I think the outrage just becomes, again, because the content of his music seemed so aligned with everything that is not what he is right now, that the reason why he's in the news is people are getting over the shock of being like, oh, this guy was, I think, just selling this idea of empowerment and shit just to sell records.
Without
a
doubt.
Right. And then, but they can't also, I think it's even harder to grasp that a person of color would sell that out, you know, so quickly.
I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Yeah, right. Okay. Exactly. Okay.
That's what, as soon as this Kanye stuff started, that's the first, I didn't tweet it or anything, but that's the quote that came to my mind.
Right.
Was like, he's living in a bubble now.
No, exactly. 100%.
And to me, he's more proof that it's rich versus poor. More than color or any other group.
100%.
He is the proof of once you get a certain amount of money in a capitalistic society, you own a lot.
Yeah.
It's power.
And you've left the real world.
And you are not. Roseanne is another fucking example of that.
So suffice it to say, he thought he was at TMZ just to get some clicks and say some crazy shit. And after he did his really cool take on history, he then posited to the entire bullpen at TMZ what their thoughts were on his new ideology.
Do you feel that I'm feeling? Do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
I actually don't think you're thinking anything. I think what you're doing right now is actually the absence of thought. And the reason why I feel like that
is because Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
That is what I think most people wanted to say to fucking Kanye to his face for the last couple weeks, or last week at least. So yeah, that was Von Lathan.
Just a TMZ reporter.
Who's a TMZ guy, yeah.
And the most appropriate time for that Stephen A. Smith cadence.
Right, exactly, yeah.
That's when it's called for.
Right. That? No, 100%. And you could tell that Kanye was, when you look at the shots of this exchange go down, he's kind of thinking like, oh, wow. Like, his gears are going because he's having to have a moment. He's like, well, none of the sycophants around me talk
exactly.
like this.
That's yes. it.
And I think that it was an interesting moment for him because he goes everywhere and everyone kisses his ass and blows smoke up his ass like he ain't saying shit that's mm-hmm. fucking wrong or completely ignorant. And then cut to someone who is outside of his circle, you know, taking him to task on all the shit that he's saying.
Was it live when that happened?
Like, was it being broadcast
yeah.
live? No, that video, I think, was cut together. But, I mean, okay. that was a moment that had just happened. And
but it's also not in his controlled environment and everything, like not in a studio.
No,
so
no,
he
no because he sat
out.
Down yeah. first. When he said the 400 slate, he was with, like Harvey Levin and the dude with the dreadlocks. That's when he said that other shit. And then when he got up, that's when he was like, well, what do y'all think? And that's when the people in the bullpen were like, actually, yes, I have something to say.
Right.
So, yeah, shout out to Von Lathan. And, again, yes, I don't think we need to discuss this much further because, you know, there are even studies that find that, you know, wealthy people are less cooperative when income inequality is visible to them.
Mm-hmm.
They are less likely to share. Like, there was a game that was set up, I forget at what, or I think it was at Yale, where they did a bunch of experiments where they're like people from around the world, they grouped them into online networks to play this like economics game. And each participant was given like an income. So like some person was going to be wealthy, some person not so much, some person like middle class or whatever. And when they said, okay, here's the game. If you cooperate, you will be contributing some of your wealth. You'll give up some of your wealth so everyone else's fortunes go up. But if you defect, that means you pay nothing and you can still reap the rewards of other people paying into you to lift you up. Now, when those people saw what they had relative to other people who had the higher incomes were not willing to share. When the inequality was invisible, everyone was more likely to cooperate with each other. So like already you begin to like just when you know you have more, there's just this thing, this part of us or certain people that just sort of does not allow them to sort of like, you know, there is a phenomenon that sort of wealth status can affect how willing you are to.
It's like a lizard brain thing.
Right. It's like, yeah, they become immediately defensive. They're like, whoa, well, you know, people are going to think that this is unfair because it is.
Well, I had the thought, like, if I was a billionaire, it was because of what Michelle said at the end of her thing where she was like, Flint still doesn't have. I was like,
right.
I just thought of like who the richest people were. Like, they could throw a check and
$50 million.
Fix
That's
that.
All they need.
And then I was like, well, you know, if I had $50 million, you know, what precedent are you setting for blah, blah, blah? I understand that thought. But then it was like, oh, that's why I would never be a billionaire is because I couldn't keep that money like that.
Right.
I would have a certain amount of money for me. And then everything else would just be because of the way I was raised.
Right.
Like I've read those studies like that too, where it's like people with money. It's not that they don't think of community as much because they don't have to.
Right.
And I learned that when I was in a fraternity in college. Like, I look back and it was like, was not a good experience at the time or anything. You know, I had fun and there's some times, but like, looking back, I was like, but I learned how people that had money operated.
Right.
So there was like times where I just didn't understand like how they thought Because I was like, no, we're putting this money in. We're all going to do this thing. And
right.
They're like, no, I got it. It's like, I'm taken care of. And where I was thinking of the group.
Yeah.
As a whole. And so it was like, I remember being very frustrated not understanding that. But as I got older, looking back, I'm like, oh, they weren't dickheads. They just, it's something that never occurred to, it's weird thing to have empathy for
and
bad people.
Yeah. And Kanye's around a bunch of people who will just say yes. So that coupled with his ignorance is a very bad combination.
Yeah, and the idea that you just mentioned of it being more a thing of rich people versus poor people, I think is the most dangerous idea in America. The idea that people do not want anybody to have, which I think there's a reason that Martin Luther King Jr. got killed once he started pointing that out, and why RFK got killed when he started made poverty instead of like anything else his main mission. Yeah. And then I also think
RFK got killed because his dad fucked over the mafia, if we're being honest.
Well, they were both focusing on that and got killed in the same
year. Well, on paper,
year.
He was focusing on that. Yeah. cue the Curb music. Right. But yeah.
But I think on the other side of the coin, the idea like having Kanye come around to the rich people's side and be like a cultural force that people from all economic strata identify with, that's why you're seeing this like outpouring from the right of people being like, yes, finally, we got one. Like,
well,
we got
also,
somebody who can like convince them to just be cool.
Because like you're saying, Kanye doing this also further deepens the racial divide too, mm-hmm. which is a key element to not getting people who are disenfranchised to not focus on race and be like, wait, hold up. We're an entire class of people that is being affected like this. And with Kanye doing this kind of shit, it further distracts people from the idea of this kind of the haves and the have-nots of sort of like being like, because now everyone's like, you know, within the community of people of color, it's like, yo, what the fuck is this dude talking about? And now it's just all about what is this guy doing, trying to figure him out, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. When really it's like, no, let him go. We have better
let
work to do. It's just like there are people who actually
him
need,
and Ben Carson,
need help.
Let him go.
Oh, yeah, Ben Carson is. He's been gone.
But he's the same if you, and I'm not talking about race at all. I'm just talking about the same kind of, the man is a brain surgeon and brilliant brain surgeon.
Right. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. He doesn't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend who works at a hedge fund. He doesn't run it. I don't even know how he got the job. It's pure nepotism. It has to be. But he talks about, he's like, we get a lot of doctors' money because they think they're good at other stuff.
Right.
He's like, a lot of doctors don't have money because they just throw money at the dumbest stuff,
mm-hmm.
like goats or like, you know, llama farms and stuff like that.
Right.
Because they think they're like athletes
because
they're really good at one thing.
Yeah.
They think they're good at everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what's happening to Kanye is we build him up because he's good at beats.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, I'll wave from Earth as his spaceship goes off.
Right.
See ya, bro.
He's good at beats.
Come back when you wake up.
Let's talk about some other stories. Ty Cobb is out. He is, quote, retiring from Donald Trump's legal team. This is the guy who has all along been somewhat unnerving in how steadfast he was and being like, no, we're going to cooperate. Of course we'll cooperate. We have nothing to hide.
Even though his mustache made him look like a fucking Looney Tunes villain.
Right, yeah.
But yeah,
he's like Wilford Brimley got a hold of his diabetes.
Yeah,
it's yeah, diabetes. Exactly. Got a handle on it.
He's retiring. They're bringing in a guy by the name of Emmett T. Flood.
I mean,
how's that not a fictional?
It's like a minor league baseball players of names.
I mean, Ty Cobb is a major league
name. Right, man, a major league racist. Just one of the best racists of all time.
But Emmett T. Flood has a history of defending presidents and working in White House counsel's office. He was on the team that defended Clinton during his impeachment. He represented Bush regarding executive privilege. So he has a history of being involved when the most powerful person in the country is in an adversarial relationship with somebody who's coming for them. And that appears to be the direction things are taking. There's no more.
What's he do when he's not defending the presidents? What's his like in between?
I mean, he's just a lawyer.
He's a conservative lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, as someone that has hired lawyers, you do want the conservative
ones. That's right.
You really do.
Right.
Because they're exhausting and they take care of it. It's a smart.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, this is clearly a choice because, you know, prior to this, it was seemingly we'll cooperate. Now bringing this person in means, okay, we need to fight this shit. Mm-hmm. And it seems like now would be the time considering all the pressure that people are in the orbit of the Trump campaign. It's mounting. Yeah.
They're tooling up for battle.
They're like, I mean, and look at the Republican congressmen that are announcing their retirement. It's just jumping off the ship.
Yeah.
Just get out.
I guess more aggressive legal strategy now.
It's crazy that we feel like the news is crazy right now, and we're probably in the calm before the storm, like where things are about to get really crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is the episode before the penultimate episode in Game of Thrones.
Right,
this is where everybody's just getting ready, and we think that this shit is hard to keep up with.
It's just like
a blood orgy coming.
Yeah, like the first scene in Gangs in New York, where like all those underground like rat people are like sharpening their claws. You're like, oh fuck, and then you don't realize they're about to emerge from the underground and just let the blood spill in the streets. And that's when we'll be like, oh, Brendan Gleeson just smushed that guy's head with a club.
Oh, they're killing each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked into that movie 5 minutes late and way too high.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was my friend turned to me and goes, are we in the right movie, man?
Oh, my God.
It was like so fucking intense. Dude.
I remember that around that time, my high school football team was about to play in the championship game, the CIF finals. And my mom was like an academy member or whatever. So we had the screener and the movie hadn't come out yet. And I was like, y'all need to come over and see this scene before y'all go into battle.
Yeah.
And played it for them. And everyone was so pumped up
because
gritty snare track that's playing and like a weird flute. And, you know, shout out to Notre
Dame. Daniel Day just like walks in and plants his fucking foot.
Yeah.
Man, that character, the way he plants a foot, it's just like, yeah, you're not going to move me off of this
spot. Who is this son? Saint Michael. And what did he do? He cast the devil from paradise.
God.
Jesus Christ.
That's a weird time for you guys to laugh there.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, the storm is imminent.
Yeah,
because if you look at it too, there's even, you know, the Freedom Caucus guys are even trying to, you know, leak articles of impeachment against Rod Rosenstein.
Yeah, how'd that go up?
Well, the thing is, I said this a couple weeks ago, they're clearly manufacturing a conflict to try and create some kind of pretext to fire Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
That happened last week when they were like, oh, we need these Comey memos. If you don't give them, well, I mean, what the fuck? You need to, you know, that's contempt of Congress. New thing now is they're leaking these articles of impeachment. And, you know, these guys are like, well, you know, that's a last resort. Clearly, you're just trying to publicly exert pressure to further this narrative and try and be like, they're trying to basically threaten the DOJ into compliance because they want things like, you need to look into Hillary's emails again, or you need to talk about like how these FISA warrants were given based on the dodgy dossier. Like, you know, it's just all this bullshit that they're hanging on to defend the president. And so when that happened, everyone was like, you know, Rod Rosenstein was on C-SPAN. They're like, hey, what do you think of this? Listen to this response from Rod Rosenstein.
Yeah, there have been people who have been making threats privately and publicly against me for quite some time. And I think they should understand by now the Department of Justice is not going to be extorted. We're going to do what's required by the rule of law. And any kind of threats that anybody makes are not going to affect the way we do our job.
Yeah. So he said, pull up with that energy.
Right.
Because I'm here. I got Ogun waiting for you.
It is like, I feel like as a parent, that's what Mueller in the investigation feels like. They're just standing there where it's like, I know what you guys are and
what you're trying to do.
The kids are just like coming like, no, it's also, and they're, and Mueller,
like,
just
that's
like,
why I need a new Nintendo. See, this one has water on it.
Yeah, right. And just like every excuse, they're like, well, what about this and this? And the kid's like, well, and just lie on top of lie on top of lie, and you're like, you need to stop talking and just take your punishment.
When you're being manipulated by somebody who like thinks they're smarter than you, but they just like don't know what that you know about all this shit.
Yeah, it's like I was just hanging out with Her Majesty, my girlfriend, as I call her, Her Majesty's niece, and it's the same thing. Like when a kid's really smart, and you can just kind of see that they're working you. Part of me just likes to be like, okay, let me let this rock. Because I want to see how you, like, where you think this is going. And that's, I'm sure, like, how, like, they all are too. Because everyone has said, you guys are so transparent with what you're trying to do.
You need to learn to read your mark.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I need to teach my son, too, most of the time.
Right,
right. Your teacher's like, yo, part of this scam you're running is you need to know if they're buying the scam or not.
You got your mark selection is off, my man.
Yeah,
let me show you how to run a real scam. Let's go into this Target real quick.
Exactly.
Now walk with a limp.
Yeah, this dude at Pep Boys. tried to scam me. And I just started laughing, and we walked out, and my son goes, what just happened? And I was like, well, you see, when he quoted the first price as like $1,500, that makes it seem like the real price is a lot lower.
Right.
You know, than it. And he was like,
oh. There you go. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. There you go.
He's like,
teaching him anchoring.
Yeah.
That's called anchoring.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, but watch what people are doing, man.
Yeah.
Now, it's about the Overton window.
I was like, you thought it was a joke, and I was like, and it was, but it's also another thing.
Right. No, I mean, it's just everyone's getting in trouble day by day as it's happening. And now there's even like speculation about like what's going on with Ivanka and stuff too.
Yeah, this was an interesting story on Politico. They asked the question that I guess I hadn't even thought of, but yeah, Ivanka's allegedly at the center of all this shit. Like she
many things, yeah.
At the center of most of the scams, like she is involved.
Oh, she's
in.
Like the one that they send over and does the.
Yeah.
Well, she has, you know, she lobbied for Paul Manafort to join the campaign. She was in Bedminster when Trump decided to fire Comey. She was on the plane when they were trying to figure out how to spin the Trump Tower meeting. And again, there are ways to look at it. On one side, they could say that despite those things on paper seeming like she is involved, it's very possible that her explanation is during the Bedminster thing when Comey was getting fired, she was with her kids. She wasn't with her dad. Yes, she was there, but she was with her kids. On the plane, she was like on the back of the plane doing her own shit or whatever.
Taking those Ambien from Dr. Ronnie.
Exactly. And so like, yes, there are a couple theories as to, yeah, like how the fuck has she not been called in? Now, the nicest one is that, look, Mueller's just being very careful and not taking any unnecessary risk because, again, it is possible.
Or they're still watching her.
Yeah, right. That it's possible that she may have been at those places and may not have done anything wrong. Or, you know, she was in many meetings that he's already interviewed people that were also there. So there's no need to double up because there aren't many times when she's exclusively the only person that was, like, worth talking to. Then you could also say that Mueller's being careful because he probably does want to talk to her, but he can't do it yet because that will put Trump, if he's a Tesla, it will put him into insanity mode.
Yeah.
And he'll just try and rage fire the entire DOJ.
He'll burn Twitter to the ground.
Right, exactly.
What he'll do.
And then because obviously his closest and most favorite partner and child that he's ever had. And so now we know that things are look a little murky, but also the one that Politico points out, her DC enemies, their theory is that Ivanka knows so much that Mueller is getting all of his ducks in a row to be able to corner her, like, legally before he questions her. And he basically knows, like, that'll be the finale, the grand finale.
The New Yorker reporter who wrote about this being the final stages of the Trump presidency in the sense that there is no conceivable future where they are not just completely overwhelmed by scandal. A lot of the financial crimes that he talks about, she was like the main point person.
Right.
Like, so she's probably going to be in trouble, almost definitely going to be in trouble one way or another, whether it's during this presidency or after this presidency. So, you know, she got her hands dirty. And like, they have emails where she and Don Trump Jr., I think, are emailing back and forth being like, man, hopefully people don't catch us in this financial crime we're committing. Like, they're just like
nearly
real
verbatim,
dumb about it. Yeah. So, yeah. But I do think he's probably wise if he's not, you know, tripping that alarm. Because
right.
Not a normal relationship.
No.
Him and his daughter?
Just the way he feels about her seems
sexual. It seems sexual.
It really does. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're back. And what are we going to go out on, Miles? We're running low
honestly,
on time. We got two stories left.
Two stories. Like, first up, Zeit Gang, I have to say we have to declare war. It is time for war because Trader Joe's has launched a podcast and we must destroy it. Now, I don't know what's really motivating my anger here.
I don't either.
I don't really either because I kind of fuck with some of the shit at Trader Joe's. It's more just, I think, funny because now everyone has a podcast is really
true.
What this says.
I don't.
Oh, well, look, you're on here.
Well, I'm working on one.
Yeah, you're working. Exactly, man. You got to get in the game. You got a verified check, but you don't
doing
have a podcast.
My manager, that's the one thing she won't say every time she talks to me. How's your podcast? I'm like, here, listen to it.
Yeah, well, they got their shit together. They listen to their manager because they have launched today Inside Trader Joe's, and it's like a 5-episode limited series But it's like they talk about everything to like how they develop their products, like, you know, how the tasters, you know, weigh in on how shit should work and things like that. So if you really, 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 really want to know about Trader Joe's and the workings of it, you're in luck because they have a podcast. And they even say there's even a sad explanation of why Trader Joe's sells individual bananas. So there might be some dark
backstory.
Is there,
you know what they don't talk about on that podcast? Parking. Because they don't think about it ever. Not. It's not something that company thinks about at all. It's parking.
Anyway, everyone has a podcast. And also,
fuck Trader Joe's podcast.
I'm just waiting for, you know, my parent or one of my parents' friends to be like, oh, a podcast. Have you heard of Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Like the way they do it with like cereal or This American
Life. Right. And this could be the next cereal. Yeah. But another thing, because Billy, I know you're a very big baseball fan, former player, that the Rockies are doing something very interesting called the Business Person Special. Now, that is not a massage parlor deal. This is a deal for $21. A business person, someone who just wants to do work, can get a standing room only ticket with a ledge to put your laptop, a cheeseburger, fries, and a beer, and Wi-Fi. So you can now work at the ballpark because baseball games are so slow moving. They're like, fuck it. You could probably do work here too.
That's smart.
Yeah.
It's what we call in the industry a two-screen experience in the world of bullshit marketing phrases.
Yeah, I mean, but what's funny is, like, I think in the Denver Post that, like, someone, a couple people went to a couple games and, like, yeah, it's mostly people just taking advantage of, like, the deal. They're, like, a couple people that did have laptops, they were having to deal with people, like, spilling beer near their laptops.
Yeah,
so they're still working it out. But, again, I think it does make sense, like, because I think there's an attendance issue at Major League Baseball games, especially during a day game.
Because there's 162.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Every team plays 162, so it's like you can't feel 40,000 people.
No.
Even when they're good.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, a fucking midweek day game, rest in peace. If it's not during the summer, like, just, it's not many people.
I look
that
for
time.
Those just because that fits my schedule.
Right.
And there's still not enough of those. The midweek game. Yeah.
How many are there maybe? Like,
a lot of them are Sundays. Or
right.
Sundays is like the day for it. But to me, a Wednesday noon 1:30 game, come on.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Well, if you have free time.
I'm also like, and if I lived in the 1950s, where there's only baseball, so I could just skip out of work. You know? I'm already a little drunk from work anyway. Right.
That was like one of the excuses. It's like tuberculosis or you got tickets to the game. Those are excused absences from work. Billy, it's been a pleasure having you.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
At Billy Wayne Davis on Instagram. That's just go there because that's going to be where I put most of the information. And then, or just Google Billy Wayne Davis. I have a record out. And then I'm around LA the next couple weeks. Doing stand-up, and then I'm going on tour because I'm getting ready for a special in the fall. So I'll be touring quite a bit until October. So look out for those dates.
Yeah, look out for Billy. Go see him.
Please. One of the funniest dudes out there.
I'm good live.
Really good. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. That is going to do it for today. Miles, what are we riding out on?
Okay, so we have a song by Taylor McFerrin, son of Bobby McFerrin.
Taylor Swift.
If Taylor Swift and Bobby McFerrin had a child, he would be Taylor McFerrin. This is his oldest son, Taylor McFerrin. Really great musician. This is a track called Place in My Heart with this vocalist called Riot, R-Y-A-T. And it's just a dope little track. Production is dope, and it's in 7. Not a time signature most pop music listeners are used to. So, you know, vibe out to this piece. And it's hump day, so just get over the hump.
Why did they do it in 7?
Yo, because, hey, man, odd meter, man. You know what I mean? Like, people just like to do things different.
I like that.
Everyone's so used to 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, or 3. You hear 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, but 1, 7? Woo!
Uh-huh.
And, like, take 5 is in 5, you know? Like, those sort of off-meter things. That's for the people who like listening to music. I feel like that's, like, how you sort of flex your... your grasp on the music. So peep this song and just enjoy yourselves, guys. Just keep on keeping on.
And we'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.